Good evening and welcome to another exciting session here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center. Thank God for our apostle. What an apostolic call. What an apostolic ministry that we witness. And I'm sure all of you as students had the opportunity to participate in the 2024 Prosperity Revival. None of that would be possible without the seventh stage of revival. In this book, Catching the Waves of Revival, we have arrived to the seventh stage, which is the revivalist. So if there's no other lessons, you should have paid attention to all of them. But this one, for certain, because this one bespeaks the ministry of Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. And so let us begin this evening.
The seventh stage
of the end time revival is called the times of the revivalist.
The book of Acts.
The Acts of the Holy Spirit. Now notice this, the book of Acts is not the Acts of the Apostles. That's okay, y'all get a little nervous, like I'm changing the Bible. But no, it's literally the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
These ordinary men did extraordinary exploits.
They did extraordinary exploits. Notice, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to pause there for a second. It is so important to understand this because the Lord Jesus Christ himself stood in all fivefold ministry offices. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. In St. John chapter number 14, Jesus told them, I'm going to leave you and I'm going to the Father. But when I go to the Father, I'm going to send someone back.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to put it to you this. I'm going to send you another comforter.
Yes, sir.
One of the same sort, one of the same kind that I am.
Yes, sir.
I am the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm called Emmanuel. That's God with us. But he says, when I ascend to my Father and your Father, I'm going to pray the Father, and he will send to you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Now, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit coming back, that he sent back, is equivalent to him.
Yes, sir.
See, Jesus was God with us. The Holy Spirit is God in us.
Yes, sir.
Just as Jesus represented the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, the Holy Spirit wants to invade the body of Christ, the church,
yes, sir,
and cause the fullness of the Godhead to be present in bodily form through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in his church. And apostolic people, go ahead, daughter.
These men themselves were the greatest product
of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
The miracles of healing.
Now, I know I'm pausing, daughter. These things come to me. So y'all just have to bear with me tonight. The beginning of the outpouring in America began in 1906, the Azusa Street Revival. They be calling them bishops, but actually he was an apostle, William Seymour. Are you listening? And there was another man who was joined to him in that revival, Apostle Charles Mason. He is the founder of the Church of God in Christ, which the Holy Spirit move of God in this generation as we know it began on Azusa Street. Now think of how strategic God is. Azusa, A-Z-U-S-A. From A to Z throughout the USA, I am the God that will invade America and cause her to be the greatest propagator of the gospel in the whole world. Only God could orchestrate such a thing, but here it comes. He had to have revivalists. And the church was never separated between black and white and Hispanics and all those things. That separation came when the enemy planted weed amongst the seed. But now God is restoring, bringing his church back to a place of apostolic government. You listening? And in order for that to happen, the work of the revivalist must be in full fledge. Go ahead, daughter.
The miracles of healing.
The miracles of healings,
signs and wonders.
And supernatural abilities
were all overshadowed
by the fact
that these ordinary men
were manifesting God
in the human body.
They were manifesting God in the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Christ's life,
character,
power
and ministry.
Were all, watch the word, tangibly felt
through these ordinary
lives.
The greatest product
of these end time revivals
is going to be the manifestation
of these men
who are full of the Holy Spirit.
And of faith.
Now, if you ever heard me teach over any protracted period of time,
I've said this concerning Apostle Thompson. We talk about people being demon possessed,
but now we have a man who's God possessed.
Are you listening?
A person who's God possessed.
It's amazing.
The things of this world don't have the type of impact and effect upon them,
because they're interested in bringing a heaven to earth government.
The apostolic is not interested in training us to go to heaven.
The apostolic is centered around bringing heaven to earth.
God's government in the earth means God's rule and God's sovereign reign throughout the entire universe.
But only apostolic government and ministry can implement that.
But in doing so, you must have a God-possessed leader
and God-possessed people.
Go ahead.
We call these men
revivalists. We call these men revivalists.
There is no revival.
There's no revival
without a revivalist.
Without a revivalist.
And no revival.
And no revival
can gather
divine momentum
without a revivalist.
A revivalist is not just
carried by revival waves. Creates revival waves.
But a revivalist creates revival waves. He don't just participate. He creates.
Are you listening?
See, people think revival just, God may be the initiator, but he got to find somebody to get on fire.
He needs combustible material
that he can light up.
And when they light up him.
Go ahead.
As revival breaks forth,
a revival breaks forth
wherever
the revivalist goes. Did you catch that?
A revival breaks forth
wherever the revivalist go.
It don't matter what setting you put him in.
God told Apostle, I'm going to do this in Darryl.
See, you have to be around to know these things.
You listening?
This small little city
or town, country.
If you're driving through, if you blink for 30 seconds, you missed it.
Yes, sir.
But God told him,
I will do it in Darryl. You listening?
Yes, sir.
Even after he auditioned to preach in bigger churches. You listening?
Yes.
He said, God told him, he said, God, I thought you was going to use me. God said, I am. But I'm going to use it right here in Darryl.
Yes,
you obey me, I'm going to send them from the north, the south, the east, and the west.
Yes.
They're going to fly into New Orleans and the Baton Rouge, and they're going to ask, where is Darryl? He said, I'm going to put gas in their cars. Are you listening?
Yes.
They're going to be glad to drive.
Yes.
Now, in case you haven't recognized yet, I'm talking about all of us
yes.
who are part of this school of ministry and are part of the apostolic ministry of Apostle Leroy Thompson.
Yes.
This is the fulfillment of what God spoke to him,
yes.
which means we were in God's mind when he was on yes. God's mind.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
A revivalist carries
an apostolic mantle
that helps him to organize,
consolidate, and establish
all of the believers
in what God is prophetically
fulfilling today.
Understanding the times of the revival.
The times of the revivalist is the times
when a special mantle of God's anointing
will rest upon the prophetic church. This mantle is called the mantle of Samuel's anointing.
Now watch what I want to say here. See, because we live in a day where there's little apostolic government and ministry, we train people erroneously. Because for someone to tell you that the Old Testament is not important is irresponsible. Because when you read the New Testament, much of it is quoted from the Old Testament. And you ready for this? Revelation supersedes testaments. For example, grace is not a New Testament revelation. Noah found grace. Abraham found grace. Isaac found grace. I know y'all know that. That's okay. It's all good. Go ahead, daughter.
Something supernatural
took place
during the era of Samuel,
the priest, prophet, and king. Go ahead.
The prophetic anointing was brought into a new level
of expression, function, and maturity.
Before the days of Samuel,
the prophetic anointing was a patriarch type of anointing. Notice, it was a patriarch types of anointing. That was before the days of Samuel.
Yes,
what does that mean? That means that apostolic succession came through a natural lineage.
Yes, sir.
You listening?
Yes, sir.
Your daddy was this, so the son gonna be that.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Nothing wrong with that. Every son ought to want to honor their father and how they carry out their life. Because the purpose of sonship is to honor fathers.
Amen.
You listening?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, daughter.
Had Abraham to Isaac.
Read that statement over again. The first one about, yes.
Before the days of Samuel,
the prophetic anointing was a patriarch type of anointing.
It could only be transferred
through natural sonship and lineage.
From Abraham to Isaac
and then to Jacob.
Yet none of Jacob's sons
fully into it.
moved fully into that succession.
Except for Joseph.
Except for Joseph.
Even after his death.
Even after his death. Joseph's death.
The bones of Joseph.
The bones of Joseph.
Were prophetically speaking. To the people of Israel.
To the people of Israel.
About their destiny.
About their destiny.
And
about their inheritance. It's amazing, before Joseph transitioned to glory, he said, make sure when God deliver you, as he told Father Abraham, your seed would be in bondage for 400 years and serve a nation. Are you listening? That would enslave you. But God said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. After 400 years, I'm going to visit them. And I'm going to deliver them from that nation.
Yes.
But he didn't just say that. He said they would come out with great substance.
Yes.
But you see, everything is always not contained in one text. So in Psalm 105, I believe around verse number 37, you found out, and he brought them out with silver and with gold.
Yes.
And watch this. And there was not one feeble or sick one amongst them. So he didn't just bring them out with great substance. He brought them out with both health and wealth. I want you to know, we're in a day now where we, the body of Christ, are being transitioned back from the place which we fell. We believe in doctors, and it's okay. Thank God they're here to help us. But what happens when they say that's all they could do? Do we cry and give up and faint? No. We have a supernatural God who is sovereign. And he overrules the natural because he's supernatural. And we are a part of his plan. So that's why that song, you listening? Trust in God. You listening? I sought the Lord. He heard and he answered me. You ready? And here's something else you need to hear. And delivered me from all my fears. Go ahead.
Then we read that Moses touched a greater measure.
That Moses touched a greater measure
of the prophetic anointing.
Of the prophetic anointing.
God took some of
Moses' spirit
and put it upon 70 men.
And he placed it upon the 70 elders or leaders in Israel.
Yes.
The 70
prophesied.
They
took a greater measure of leadership.
And they took a greater measure of leadership. But here's what you need to know. The 70 took Moses' spirit. God took Moses' spirit and put upon him. Moses was a prophet. Like the Bible says, a prophet like unto Moses I'm going to raise up. Jesus is a prophet after the order of Moses. You listening? But when you are around a prophet, the prophetic can easily come upon you. You listening? When you're around a real prophet, it'll make you want to prophesy. It's not because of you. It's because of the story that's on the inside of them.
Yeah.
You ready? Getting off on you.
Thank you, Lord.
Connection makes a difference.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
The structural base
of Moses' leadership
was expanded through this phenomenon.
What phenomenon? Taking his spirit and putting upon 70 others who would carry things out exactly as Moses did.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
Then years later, God took some of Moses' spirit and put it upon a young man Joshua.
By the name of who? Joshua. Who was Joshua? Moses' minister.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And Joshua became a capable substitute
for Moses. for Moses. You want to know why? How he connected and followed.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening? When Moses went off the scene, according to Joshua chapter 1, God speaks to Joshua and says, my servant Moses is now dead. You listening?
Yes, sir.
But I'm commanding you, Joshua,
yes, sir,
to carry out all that my servant commanded you.
Yes, sir.
Now watch this. This is so profound. God tells Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life.
Hallelujah.
Isn't God good?
Yes,
go ahead.
Joshua moved on.
To lead the people.
Into a new dimension of victory. Besides Moses.
There was no one else.
Whom God used.
To bring men into the prophetic dimension
and add them
on the structural base
of corporate leadership
over Israel.
Until Samuel's era,
this was not possible.
Samuel's ministry.
Marks the beginning of a what?
A new era.
Y'all know sometimes we get stuck on the old.
Mm-hmm.
You listen? You don't curse the old.
That's right.
Uh-huh. That got y'all attention. You don't curse the old.
Yep.
You listening? If you curse the old, you're going to get lost. Because that all began with your forefathers.
Yes. Yes.
You listening?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Samuel's ministry
marks the beginning of a new era
of prophetic release
and corporate leadership.
B.
Samuel's anointing.
Number one. Samuel had a threefold anointing. Samuel was a what?
Prophet. Samuel was also a priest, and Samuel was also a king. Now, you know, this is how Bible students get messed up. It doesn't say king, it says judge, right?
Yeah.
But what do a king do?
Judge.
Okay. Are you okay now?
Yes, sir.
Because a king sits upon the throne to judge.
Yes, sir.
You listening?
Yes,
go ahead.
Samuel possessed these three anointings.
And he successfully communicated them.
To others through his lifestyle.
The way he lived, conducted, and regulated his life.
As a prophet.
God's divine oracles. Were continuously given to Israel.
Unlike the days of Eli.
As a priest.
Samuel ministered in the house of the Lord.
At Shiloh.
And he continually offered sacrifices.
On behalf of God's people.
As a judge,
he ruled in both the natural
and the spiritual realm.
Important to understand.
He kept the people under God's rule and spiritual subjection.
Now, y'all have to realize the reason why we don't see these type of things carried out in the way that they should be today. It's because men failed to recognize the apostolic and how it functions and how it operates. That apostle just doesn't have jurisdiction over a physical location, but also spiritual realm.
Yes,
you listening?
Yes,
See, in the natural, you know, if you in different counties and different places, you have police departments.
Yeah.
You listening?
Yeah.
They just can't run all over. They have jurisdiction over certain areas.
Yeah.
But when they come together corporately,
yes.
You follow?
Yes,
that allows them to cross over.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see that later on in the apostolic. Go ahead.
Samuel also kept the enemies of Israel
away from the borders of Israel.
He brought tremendous restoration
to Israel.
And the people returned
to serve the Lord alone.
The land that was lost to the Philistines
was also restored back to Israel. So in other words, the apostolic recover all that's lost.
Yes.
That's why it's important to have covering.
Amen.
And to be covered.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Number two.
Samuel's anointing can be imparted. Very important word. Imparted to another individual. Watch this now. That's not his natural lineage.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Or his natural son. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr., Dr. Montrell Thompson, and we call him Bishop Darnell. Are you listening? They're Apostle Thompson's natural sons. But their mother taught them, along with Shauna, his daughter, who is a great preacher as well. Whole family can preach. I'm just trying to help y'all. Son-in-laws, daughter, everybody. That's what happens when you get connected properly.
Yes,
you listening?
Yes.
But I want to show you something. The reason I'm saying that is, you could be a natural son or daughter, but you can't get the impartation unless you recognize that your father is more than your father.
Yes.
He is a man who has been sent from God to you and for you. And if the impartation is going to take place in your life, it can only come through you transitioning from natural sonship to spiritual sonship. Because this mantle belongs to a spiritual seed, not just a natural seed, because it's in a different realm. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. Go ahead.
During
Samuel's lifetime,
he anointed two men
to be king over Israel.
One was Saul,
the other was King David.
Saul was anointed with a flask of oil.
That something came from natural made products.
Right.
Go ahead.
There is an anointing.
That does not cost us our lives. You listening?
Yes, sir.
But King David
was anointed with a horn of oil.
This anointing that was poured out of the horn
is symbolism
that it will cost us our whole lives
like it cost that animal
from which the horn was taken. Well, when you study the Bible, it's a powerful thing. Because you see that live oil, you listening? It knew when to flow.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
If you try to put it on the wrong person, the oil stay. That's another lesson for another class. Go ahead.
Saul was men's choice. But David was God's choice.
Y'all ready for this? Saul looked good. 6'4", 224. All kind of muscles, six pack. I'm trying to help you. He was built. Are you listening? He was fine as wine. You call it whatever you want. Now David was this little ruddy boy with freckles, with red hair. I might be putting that one in. I'm not adding to the Bible. Be cool. But he was on the backside of the mountain. When the prophet Samuel came to anoint Jesse's sons, he lined them all up, but David was nowhere in choice. He was out nowhere in sight. He was out there taking care of the sheep. But the oil wouldn't flow because God, no, that ain't the one. God said, you looking to anoint him because he looked like he the one, but he not. And he went through all of them. Then Samuel say, well, is this all the sons you have? Because evidently, we ain't got, I got one more. Where he at? Out there tending sheep. You listening? God say, that's my choice. Give me the one who gonna feed my sheep. Give me the one who gonna take care of my sheep like they're his own. Give me one who gonna lay down his life for the sheep. Who gonna take care of the bear, the lion, the tiger, the panther, the leopard. Okay, go ahead.
Saul represents the flesh.
Saul represents the flesh. But David represented what? The spirit.
Though both men were anointed
by Samuel,
yet only
King David
went on into the fullness
of Samuel's threefold anointing. David stood as king, David stood as prophet, and David stood as priest. In other words, when you get the fullness of the mantle, is transferred through apostolic succession. You listening? When you are a son who pays attention.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Number three.
Samuel's anointing.
Could be placed upon a group of men.
Samuel's mantle of anointing
was placed upon an entire group of men.
And each one of those men
prophesied,
watch this, when they got in Samuel's presence.
That's right.
You caught it?
Yes,
not when it was away from him, but when they got in his presence.
Yep.
You listening?
Yes,
the spirit that was upon him came up on them.
Yes,
go ahead.
The mantle
of prophecy
came upon everyone
who came near Samuel's anointing.
His anointing covered David
from the murderous spirit of Saul
and
Saul's men. Notice what it says. His anointing covered them. That's why the apostolic is important.
Hallelujah.
It provides correction and protection.
Amen.
Go ahead.
That prophetic mantle
provided divine protection
for King David.
The mantle of Samuel's anointing,
number one,
subdued the power of a murderous spirit that was in Saul.
Number two. It exposed the power
of the satanic activity that was in Saul.
Number three.
It quickened the gifts
that were inside of Saul.
And four.
It enlarged his spirit
to contain more of God.
A victory that Saul should have maintained,
but unfortunately,
he gave room to satanic spirits
to use him again. Isn't that something? All that can be going on in one person, but you throw him away. But hold up, you need to hear this. You listening?
Yes,
but when David went to slay Saul, because David was a man of war, and Saul was seeking to kill him.
Right.
But King David, being a man of war, was very skilled at war. And he caught Saul in a cave relieving himself. And David took his sword and cut his skirt. But David's heart smote him. And that's where it came upon David. It was revealed to him, touch not mine anointed. Even though Saul was rejected from being king, he was still God's anointed. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm.
Yes, sir.
We must understand, don't put your mouth on men and women of God who are God's anointed. You might not like them, but God sent them. You may not like the skin color, whatever you don't like, but you got to remember, God is not a politician.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You listening?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
The fullness of the anointing
is to break the yoke. Is to break every yoke.
Every yoke.
And destroy every burden.
Amen.
Go ahead.
However,
the mantle of Samuel's anointing
could not be fully imparted
to the whole company.
His prophetic anointing
could be released upon them.
But his priestly
and his kingly anointing
could not be transferred.
The reason for this
is that in the Old Testament, the priestly anointing
was given only to the Levites
and Aaron's descendants.
And the descendants of Aaron.
And the kingly anointing
was by lineage
and natural descent.
But in the New Testament,
the church can be fully released
into all of the threefold anointing,
and thereby becoming a governing
territorial church. That rules and reigns. Notice it said the church can do that.
Yeah.
Why? Because through our sonship, the scriptures say we have been made kings and priests.
Yes,
kings and priests. Kings and priests. You listening? But that prophetic anointing belonged to all of us. Did you notice on the day of Pentecost? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But it didn't stop there. You see, they all had the ability to what? Prophesy. Just read it. Read it. They all began to what?
Prophesy.
Go ahead.
They prevailed with God
and with men. The works of the enemy
are completely destroyed
because of this governmental anointing
that is now upon the church.
Number four,
Samuel's anointing
could cover a geographical area.
Samuel's anointing was a governing force.
Over the spiritual climate and atmosphere of the nation of Israel.
He did the spiritual policing in the heavens.
Samuel did the spiritual policing in the heavens.
Samuel's anointing was also a governing force
over the natural realm of Israel. He dealt with every foreign and every false god.
He removed them from Israel. And thus giving no ground
for the satanic forces
to hold the people.
Well, we look forward to seeing you for our next session. Enjoy a great evening.